And welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer sitting in for Ross Kaminsky, and I'm sitting here in the radio studio with Penn Fiffner of the Independence Institute. He is the director of the Fiscal Policy Center. He's a former state representative. He served between 1993 and 2000, and he's got a master's in finance from the University of Colorado. I could go on, but we're going to try to cram as much as possible in this half hour as we physically can.
Oh, well, Krista, we've got a great night ahead of us in a very short time. But, you know, I've got to take just a minute to talk about, I don't know, karmic balance or whatever it is. Back when Independence Institute had its own radio show, we were stuck way up the dial and doing a Sunday morning. And the way and because of that, Caldera said, no way, I'm going to do something like that. We'll give it to somebody like Fiffner. So I got to do 5 months of radio. And the way I would set it up is I'd always have some national figure, and I'd shoot for the moon. I'd get the most knowledgeable, impressive, nationally known figure I could. And then I'd after a short time with that person, like 15 minutes, then we'd have some local people talk about how that topic applied to our local stuff. And I can remember thinking, oh, boy, you know, I'm going to shoot for the moon. I'm going to get Krista Kafer if I can. But, you know, I better have a plan B ready, because no way is somebody of her renown going to come on my show. But by golly, you gave me your time on a Sunday morning.
I'm blushing.
And this is incredible. Here I am sitting across from you, and you've got your own show, and this is great. And I heard you say something about how you felt blessed. Now, your listeners have to be saying, wow, we're listening to Krista Kafer today? This is great.
If only they could see how red I've gotten. Okay, I mean, you touched my soul. Thank you very much.
Well, let's move on to the budget.
Well, I've got here your citizen's budget. I've also got the glossy promo piece. I've got your editorial, which I thought counterbalanced the sort of spendy types that were on the front page. You've got some great stuff here. Let's launch into it.
All right. Well, first of all, let's recognize that this is not the state budget. This is a look at how legislators, how our elected leaders ought to grapple, and quite frankly, how the citizens ought to grapple with a very real problem. So the Independence Institute put together a whole team of people. We have more than three dozen who are acknowledged, including Krista Kafer in the education sector.
Oh, shucks.
Section did a peer review for us.
Ben was great.
He did a wonderful piece on education. We come up with the acknowledgement that the problem is real. You know, too many times people have heard the legislature say, we're out of money. And what they really meant was, we wanted to grow a whole lot and we can only grow a little bit. But this time, between running out of all the accounting stuff they were going to do and or they've done in the past.
So they balanced it on gimmicks before.
They have. Like one time during the Owens administration, they said, you know, since we're on a cash basis, we don't have to really account for what really happened. We're going to take one payroll on June 30th, and we're going to pay it one day late.
Oh, good grief.
And by paying it one day late, you see, it hit the budget for the next year. They saved the budget for the year they were doing that. It's been that sort of accounting gimmicks. And the other thing they do, Krista, is they raid cash funds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now cash funds are things like, you know, if an architect is registered to practice, that regulation he pays for. If somebody gets a hunting license, she's going to pay for the hunting license. There are a whole bunch of cash funds that build up with the idea they're going to pay for the program itself.
So they've been raiding state parks? And like, things that are supported by the hunting licenses and that kind of stuff?
All kinds of cash funds. They've just been pulling them in, and to me, that's theft. Yeah.
It is.
So they've run out of that. They really should have had this problem last year, but there was one thing that came up in the last year that managed to defer this whole problem for 1 year.
And that, what was it?
That was the Obama.
I like Obamula better.
No, I was putting two words together. Obama stimulus plans. So these stimulus monies came in $641 million into the state. And that allowed the state government to wait until this year. But they are really, truly going to be facing something between $700 million and $1 billion in shortfall.
So they put off making those tough choices last year because of the stimulus funds. So washing funds, they bought themselves a year. Now they have to get down to business. Some folks on the left, like these four legislators, say that, you know, there's no choice but to raise taxes, take out Tabor, that kind of thing. It sounds like the Independence Institute has put out what looks to me, I mean, this is a big document, a rather long guide to making real substantive changes without raising taxes?
We thought we were going to come in with, maybe 50, 60 pages. We ended up with a 170-page document. But if anything, that'll get people turning from this radio station to something else when they say 170-page document. No way do I want to go through that much policy stuff.
But can't they just go through the parts that they're interested in?
Exactly. We've got this set up on the Independence website. You've mentioned that earlier tonight. But
did I get it right? I2I.org?
Yeah, that's the letter I, the numeral 2, the letter I.org. And if somebody can't remember I2I.org, they can type out independenceinstitute.org and get to the same place. But you get to the citizens' budget and go to our table of contents, and you can pull up only what you're interested in. Let's say that you're only interested in looking at the higher education piece. Well, you don't have to download the whole thing. You can go right to that piece. You can pull only that down. The other thing that I hope every listener will do by 7:30 tonight is that they will go on there and get what you perhaps
A
little inelegantly called our promo piece. It's actually the executive summary, and you'll also find it in the total citizens budget. This is just the version that's 6 pages about of really our conclusions of how the legislature can close this billion-dollar hole.
It's terrific. It's eminently readable. It's short, pithy, to the point. And I would recommend that everyone check this out because I really think it just really hits those high points.
Well, and it's a whole lot more fun than what you were talking about with this perspective section today.
Oh, yes.
Now, can you imagine if you and I had puzzled, we had thought deeply that we knew these four people, and when Steve Toole is the conservative in that group, come on. There are people on the left who want to, well, I can't go there, but this was a group that would put to shame anybody who calls themselves centrist. These were all pretty much on the left. And you and I could have puzzled long and hard. What would they come up with? Let's see. Might they attack Tabor? Yeah, that'd probably be up there. And, I don't want you to let me leave tonight without talking about Tabor, because that's important. And then we could have also said, do you think they'd come up with some ideas for more taxes? And that's really what they've done. They haven't talked about what is important here. And we need to talk, if you'll give me a minute to do that, about how this truly is not a revenue problem. Let's take a look at the states that have high revenues, because if we take a per capita look at the states, Colorado ranks comfortably just below the median. I think we're about 32nd. You say, if only we had more money, wouldn't we be out of a jam?
What about like a New York state, a place
that's
that has
number
a lot?
Two.
New Jersey?
Number one.
And how are they doing?
And they're in terrible crisis, aren't they? So, it actually seems to be a deal where the more money a state takes in, the more problem it gets. People point to California. Well, it's number six in the nation. Okay, so 1, 2, 6 are some of the basket cases. And I think there's some real good substance in being able to say, well, what happens is the legislature sees the money come in and says to itself, well, we've got some resources. Let's build a new program. Let's pay our state employees better. Let's build up that pension program some more. And these are all problems that have come to some extent to Colorado as well. Why we're facing what we're facing, it's a structural problem.
We see it's a little bit like a family that looks at their credit card statement, sees that they're totally in debt, they're not bringing enough money, they're not balancing the family budget. Instead of saying, you know what, I think we need to maybe cut spending, they say, you know what, let's raid the kids' college fund, and then we're going to have to figure out how to make more money, because clearly it's a revenue issue.
Oh, you're right. You're right on top of exactly the structural problem we're talking about. We've got to be careful not to say that there is a debt, because the hole in the budget we talk about can't be a deficit. After all, the state is prohibited by the Constitution from going into debt for its operational stuff, and for the most part, it has observed that restriction. So there's no deficit here in Colorado year to year, and you got to balance the budget. But it's the same structural failure that you've just mentioned, where the programs are set to grow at a faster pace than the citizens' ability to pay for it. So year in, year out, we've had the legislature say, well, we don't have enough money. Well, they don't have enough money because they set it up to fail in that fashion. What we need then is a smarter way of doing things. And I know your session is starting to wrap up here, but maybe one thing people can take away that is just so critical is this understanding of the failure. And we're going to talk about how you can solve that problem, that it's not a revenue problem, that it is a structural problem. And what you have to do is change the structure of the budget.
since we only have about, I don't know, 30 seconds or a little more than that left in this segment, what has the reception been to this piece among legislators?
You know, we've had an awful lot of exposure. Went to a retreat by all the, well, almost all the Republican legislators, got an hour to present it. We've put it in their boxes. We've had a second presentation down at the Capitol. So we're going to keep on talking about this, and I'd love people to get to know this piece and to ask us to come at Independence and have someone present the budget to their service club or something like that.
I think it's a great idea, and that would be, you could contact Penn here at i2i.org. We're running out of time on this particular segment, but I can't wait for us to come back and hit it again in just a few minutes. We'll talk soon, back on Backbone Radio. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer sitting in for Ross Kaminsky. That is Devochka in the background. And this is Penn Fiffner in front of us talking about the Colorado Citizens Budget. You know, we were talking over the break about the need to have an adult conversation and not put this off any longer. Tell me about what you think of that.
You know, we've got a real problem here with the timing of this. Even if you were somebody who said, we really need to grow government and this is a wonderful time to raise taxes, let's recognize that a Tabor ballot issue couldn't come up until November. Let's say it starts implementing in January. But because of the way the ballot is timed, that is, it has a fiscal year that ends June 30th, those taxes would just start ramping up, and you're never going to close a $1 billion budget in the last 3 months of the year. So this is a time when both Republicans and Democrats have to take a very sober look at this, and as you said, have an adult conversation about the fact that there aren't options out there. They have got to work in a nonpartisan manner. We've given them some very reasonable things to do that will close this $1 billion problem. They just need to follow this roadmap for sustainable government.
Well, before we get to some of those solutions, talk to us a little bit about Tabor. I know that the folks that were in that 2-day session with the Denver Post would like nothing more than sort of take off parts of Tabor, all of Tabor. What do we need to do with Tabor? I want to keep it.
Well, I want to keep it too. And in fact, what the listener needs to know that he or she can take away from this is that Tabor really has not been in effect during this period where we're having trouble. Tabor only keeps government from growing too fast when the economy is booming and revenues are starting to pour in, and we want to keep government under control. As Dan Haley said in his own editorial, at least it kept us in the 1990s, when times were very good, from seeing the government balloon up. And then you hear people say, well, we've had such trouble with Tabor. No, we haven't. Tabor hasn't been in effect during the recession and for much of the 2010 years, in large part because the economy just isn't growing now. And Krista, as we look ahead into the future years, the next couple of years, same deal. So it's just not an issue and shouldn't be. The only way you could possibly hang on to that would be to say, well, we've got to raise taxes in the middle of a recession. Well, even the most ardent Keynesian knows that's a pretty dumb idea. If you want to kill off a nascent recovery, you raise taxes. Tabor's kept them from doing that, and that's why it should remain in place. And the other is, it's just not been an issue and shouldn't be.
So part of that adult discussion that we need to be having as a state really is, instead of carping about Tabor, or even I would say carping a little bit about Amendment 23, which probably deserves to be carped about, we cannot make those kinds of changes in the short term. We need to move forward with some other solutions. Tell us about those solutions. And feel free to talk about Amendment 23.
We'll get to that then. And certainly I want to give people enough information that they say to themselves, yeah, I need to go to that project. I need to go to that report. And they open up the I2I. They click on the citizens budget. They go to the table of contents, pull down what they want out of that. But they will find that we have grappled with the big issues. If you talk about finding that program that you really don't like, maybe that midnight basketball program that used to bother people, you know, that's $1 million a year. Well, how many million-dollar programs do you have to cut and get rid of to come up to a billion? You got to find 1,000 of them. So it's not those little programs. It's not nibbling around the edges. It's going to do this. It's picking on how we do business. And as an example, Medicaid is a huge portion of the budget. It's now about 21% of what we spend. And if you look at the changes in Medicaid, we have seen a vast expansion. Even before the whole health care issue came up last year, there has been a vast expansion in eligibility. So our specialist at Independence Institute, Linda Gorman, recognized that if we take the eligibility standards just back several years to 2007 and then enforce those, all the different measures, whether it's the mental health piece or the other adults, that is, not children, not elderly, and start pulling this back to 2007 standards, we'd save a quarter of $1 billion. We'd save $250 wow. million. Dollars.
That's you're a fourth of the way there.
Fourth of the way there right now. And it stops sweeping people onto government health care who don't belong. So as an example, as Linda points out on her in her piece, now half of the state's families, you ready for this? Half of the state's families finance the health care for the children of the other half.
Wow.
Yeah. Does that sound out of balance to you?
A little bit, yes.
And then we find out that some of the co-pays and the like haven't changed for inflation in 35 years and more. And so if we just follow New Hampshire's example and start adjusting for inflation, we raise about another 18, 20 million.
That's an excellent place to start.
Good place to start. Another big place to start is in K through 12 that you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We found a couple places, and these are just teasers because we've got a whole series of them, but you had mentioned tuition tax credits with Bill Maloney. Let's not let that one go by, because the legislators can now go to our citizens' budget and see that we have used an econometrics model by Cato Institute.
Nice.
So that we understand what the effects would be on the private sector, what the effects would be on saving money at the state level, what the effects would be for the local government. And in fact, one of the other things your listeners can take from this and why they might want to click on i2i.org to get the citizens' budget is that they should use it as a source of information. It is not just a list of policy wonk sort of, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. If they say, well, how does the budget process work? It's in there. If they say, why is it we're really not 49th in the nation in education? It's in there. So whatever they want to find, they can go to that and use it as a good document, as a good reference.
When I had talked to the listeners earlier saying that the first step in making any kind of changes is to get informed. And so I think this is right here. This is step one. Get informed, then talk to friends and family, talk to those legislators, hold them to account.
What Ben DeGroe did and what you did peer review for in the K through 12 discovered that we can save even more money by eliminating master's bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a step system, that is a salary schedule that's just terrible in terms of how we pay teachers. And if we remove that item that we pay them more for getting a master's and statistically there is zero improvement, well, in that case, it's pretty obvious we ought to end that. That's $138 million a year that comes off of the pressure for the system. Well, that's more than a tenth of the problem right there. We have found solutions more in K through 12, even more. We ask that the state get rid of its. We're the only state to still have our own Social Security system. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
That's $105 million a year. And the people who get on it need never have paid a single dime into the system.
Wow.
We have suggestions for transportation, for higher education. Productivity in professors is terrible. If you just ask them to teach a class occasionally, you actually save up to $60 million. That's in there, too. And certainly we have to grapple with what Bill Maloney mentioned in the Public Employees Retirement Association. Your listeners should cut a check today for $20,000. If you can imagine that, every family cutting a check for $20,000 to solve this problem, or go into the citizen's budget at i2i.org and find out how to solve that problem without the citizen having to cut a check right now.
Well, I think, you know what, I personally would prefer to go to the citizen's budget than write a bouncing check for $20,000. You know, Penn, this has been terrific. I wish we could stay a little longer because, I mean, we're talking about distilling a 165-page document into two very small parts, and you've been terrific. Thank you for coming, and we'll do this again another time.
All right, there's much more to talk about, and I hope people will look at the citizens' budget.